Good. It's going to happen for you. God is good all the time. Do we have any praises or anything like that? Do we have any praise that anyone wants to share with? That's great. Miss Lisa's here today. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yep, I was going to just say that. Yep. So we're just waiting, I guess, on Wednesdays when we go back to the oncologist, so we'll find anything else. So, but everything went well. So thank you guys so much for your prayers. It really means a lot to us. If you wouldn't mind, just take your bulletin. This is kind of like your what's happening at Calvary. Inside, you'll notice this really cool graph that Dennis has made for us talking about the parking lot. And if you feel led to give to some of that, please just take an envelope and mark it parking lot fund, and it'll go directly to that. So please pray about what you think you might give if you can. And if you can't give anything, that's okay. Just pray for it, that God will answer that, okay? And I always like looking at the bulletin for two reasons. It's got some fun information about who's having birthdays and stuff like that. Thank you for the birthday wishes I got from you guys yesterday, turning 54. I guess that was what I was thinking. Whoa, I can't believe it. I don't feel like I'm 54. I still feel like I'm a young kid. But I guess that's not the case anymore. That's right. Live in my fantasy world, my dad says there. But happy birthdays to Brianna, Brandon, and Sue. So if you see them or know them. Brandon's birthday is the 7th, not the 8th. Okay. Thank you, Bob, for clarifying that. So if you see them or know them or want to send a card to them or drop a card or something, please do so. Let me see. There are some prayer requests that pop up all the time, and we have a prayer chain. If you want to be on that and you're not on that, let Ms. Vondell know. She does a great job of kind of keeping us in the loop of praying for who needs it in the moment's notice. She'll get a call, and next thing we know, someone's been rushed to the hospital, and we can get on our knees and start praying for that person right then. And the last thing I really like the bulletin for is on the very back, there are some prayer requests that are more specific. And I just say, put that on your refrigerator. And every time you go to your refrigerator and open the door, look at a name there and just say, God, bless Bob Jackson today. And next time you go to the refrigerator, say, God, we really want to pray for our shut-ins that don't get to come to church. You know, Polly and Barb and Judy. So just things like that to keep on your refrigerators. The best way and easiest way, that means kind of like continuous prayer. I don't know how many times you guys go to the refrigerator at your house, but we tend to go to the refrigerator a few times at our house. I can tell you that, right? Right, Dad? Right. No. If there's nothing else, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Oh, dear Lord, I just want to thank you so much for letting us gather today to be in a country that's free for us to gather. I just think back now to an earlier conversation where the Chinese are having revival and are just having to hide and not able to worship freely. And we're so blessed in this country. This is an amazing country. Thank you, Lord. We just ask that you continue to bless us. Bless each family right here that is represented. You know any needs that's on their hearts that might not be able to be spoken. And then today's service, music and sermon, we just ask that you bless Pastor Mike, bless the praise team, but bless us that our ears can be open to hear what the words you'd have us listen to today. And all these things I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We invite you to stand.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than grows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the clouds of grace. Happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Walking in sunlight of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep air, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, light my soul in glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the guiding, living the darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, lighting my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Father, we're greatly blessed to be able to come together this morning to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that he made on our behalf so many years ago, Lord. And help us to live that life for him, Lord, that you want us to live. Be with us as we attempt to worship you this day. Bless the offering, Lord, and use it for your glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
to stand again.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister, it is here. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Sisters, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds. Here's right to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our needs, our wants, our comfort, care, our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. Often for each other flows a sympathizing tear. When we are asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart to meet again.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Didn't they do a good job? Great sound this morning. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalms chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Just short passage there. Psalms 18, 1 through 3. David said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high power. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Father, we live in a very disrupting time, all kinds of things going around every which way, coming from all directions. But Lord, we know that you are in charge, and we thank you and praise you for that. We ask you to be with us as a people, that we might be faithful to you in no matter what the season is, whether it's wet or dry, sun shining or hail, doesn't matter. Lord, that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. We do pray, Father, for the elections coming up, that you will bless us with people who would be able to serve in these capacities, and that they might look to you and look for your leadership, and pray, Father God, that you will guide them, whether they look or not, for your guidance, that you would give them that guidance, that we as a country might be guided in the wrong directions, stayed away from those things, and Lord, guided in the right directions, that we might be able to be a people free, a people blessed, a people, Lord, praising you. We ask you to be with us this morning. You say wherever two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. We thank you for being here, Lord. We ask you, Lord, now to guide our hearts and minds. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know how these things happen, but because, you know, I'm not a singer, that's for sure. But old hymns sometimes come to my mind. And I thought, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be sure, be very sure, your ankle holds and grips a solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Well, we would ask that God would continue to work the life of his people and this nation and those nations around the world, and Lord's, the Lord's will be done, and we might be able to see and fathom that and praise him for that. Certainly, if ever there was a time that these kind of song lyrics were true, it's certainly true now, isn't it? The world's on fire. Our nation has kind of lost its way. We're acting sillier than a goose. And it seems like that we don't understand where we're going or how we're supposed to get there or any of those kind of things. But King David tells us there in that psalm, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. The Apostle Paul tells us over in 2 Corinthians 12, and starts in verse 14, he says, he has a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan, which Paul asked the Lord three times to deliver him from that. But Paul says that he recognizes the Lord's grace is sufficient. The Lord's grace is sufficient for him, is for sufficient for us. For thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, obviously, God's got a great opportunity to work in a lot of our lives in a lot of places. In times like these, we can grow strong or we can fail. We can grow strong in Jesus, withdraw closer. We feel a need, an imperative to do those kind of things. We feel a need, an imperative to worship. We feel a need, an imperative to open the Bible, read the scripture, our own self, pray every day. Pray and do those kind of things that will strengthen us and also that the Lord will be pleased in. In reality, times like this will come and go, won't they? And they will do so, and they will continue to do so until the Lord Jesus comes and returns in all of his glory and sets up a new world, which we are working for, praying for, and looking forward to. But Horatio G. Spafford, perhaps you've heard of him. This is a story. And Spafford lived in Chicago. He had a wife. He had five children. He was a very successful businessman, and he lived in the Upper East Side of Chicago. He was a Christian, and he was well known for his generosity and his testimony and his faithfulness to his church and to those that would let him minister to them. He counted D.L. Moody, for example, among his closest friends. Well, that's a name dropper there, isn't it? But he was not immune from tragedy. That's the thing. Well, somehow or another, the devil gets us this idea that if we're born again, if we're a Christian, then God is going to shield us from all adversity. And we're just going to walk down this yellow brick road, and we're just going to be throwing flowers and having all this kind of stuff. Not so. We're not immune from these things. And he was not immune from these things. He had a tragedy in his life. His 4-year-old son, Horatio Jr., died of scarlet fever, which that was something that was a very terrible scourge at one time. Then there was the Great Chicago Fire in 1871. It was a massive fire. It swept through the downtown area of Chicago, devastating large portions of the city, and including many of Stafford's properties. 100,000 people were left homeless. That's a pretty good group of folks. But despite Stafford's own financial losses and the difficulties he found himself in, he still demonstrated the love of Jesus he had in his heart, because he tried to assist and help as many people as he possibly could. And he even, and that's amazing, isn't it? He grew a reputation for being that person that would help if he could help. That's the way it should be, isn't it? Well, 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford decided that, okay, everything's going a little bit better and things are improving. I'm going to send my family on a holiday to England. Obviously, if this guy lives in Chicago and can send his family on a ship to England to have a holiday, then he's not Mike Harris. But nevertheless, the Lord had blessed, and Stafford had been blessed financially. Some of his business problems had gone away, and we were successful. So he sent his wife and his 4 children on this trip, this voyage. He had an 11-year-old whose name was Annie. He had a 9-year-old whose name was Margaret. He had a 5-year-old whose name was Elizabeth. And he had a 2-year-old whose name was Anna. And on November 22nd, 1873, a ship that was carrying his family was in a terrible accident. Anna somehow survived the shipwreck. She was found unconscious, lying on a plank of wood. Along with the others who were rescued, Anna was taken to South Wales. And upon arrival, Anna somehow was talking to people about sending a message back to her father. And she telegraphed him back with this short, brief message: saved alone. And Stafford wrote a song, and the first line goes something like this, and you might have heard this song: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Verse 2 is very graphic as well. So Satan should buffet, though trials should come. And that's the way of the world, my friends. It happens. Let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Well, in times like this that we're living in, it's we're being buffeted about with all kinds of directions. Things are upheavals. You hear one thing one day, and the next thing you're taking it back. This idea we're going this way, and you find out tomorrow they're going that way. And we need to recognize that's just the way of the world. There are sometimes more intense times. There are sometimes less intense. But it's just the way of the world. And we live in that world. But we're not of that world. And we're God's choice family. He observes, he looks, he puts his hand upon us, he wants the best. And he's able to, even in those kind of situations, to see us through. And when we get sometimes very, very difficult time, but when we get through that, many, many times, we say, thank you, Jesus. In times like this, we must stand in God's strength, not our strength. We have to start thinking God's thoughts, not our thoughts. My thoughts would be this, 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 and this, and hardly ever, thank the Lord, those things happen. What do we do? We must trust in the Lord. We must look to his strength. We must look to his guidance. The great apostle Paul lived in difficult times. But in that kind of time, He also recognized that God often shows himself to be God in spite of, or in the middle of, or however you want to say, a reflection of who he is, because the times reflect who God is in a more intense way. Paul tells us over in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. A very simple verse, you probably have it memorized. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. May I tell you, the great challenge of our day are nothing to be the challenge in the power of God and the wisdom of God. God can handle all those things. All the promises of God, Paul would say, are amen and amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, as he gives us a promise, he says, for whosoever, who's that mean? Anybody, whosoever, anybody, is born of God, they overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? Our faith in Jesus. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We as believers cannot overcome evil with evil. The devil's methods are not the methods that God approves of nor wants to use. But he gives us a greater advantage. If we do the things in the power of God, in the power of the resurrected Christ, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. God tells us, love them that hate you. Oh, I don't know. Is that in the Bible someplace? We ought to get that out of there, shouldn't we? I'm more prone to think, slug him first in the face before he slugs you. Yeah, that's how I got a broken knuckle. Anyway, love them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. We do things that the world never expects. Romans 12, verse 20, Paul says, therefore, if thine enemies hunger, then delight in his starvation. Oh, that's not in there, is it? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what is it? Feed him. If he thirst, give him some rancid milk to drink. No, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, that verse is always one of those verses that people read and think, what on earth is that happening there? In that verse, Paul is actually alluding back to the previous verse. Paul says that we're born again believers and we are, as God's people, can never, never use revenge. That's the devil's tactics. We trust in justice to the judge of all the earth. In all the power of God, in the entire universe is at our disposal. We don't ignore enemies. We seek to do them good in Christ's name. We seek to help them come to truth. We seek to help them to be free from the bondage they're in. They don't even realize it. And that's what he's talking about, heaping coals. That refers back to Proverbs 25. Ideally, our unexpected conduct will bring them to repentance like it did us. That's what heaping burning coals means. Instead of returning anger for anger and injustice for injustice, we give them love. We shower them with helpfulness. We shower them with grace. And it's like fire burning truth in their lives. The strongest, most powerful response we can have is for us to follow the biblical admonitions to love our enemies. That's hard to do. But there are three things that make believers overcomers. And let me just remind them. One, very, very obvious, is faith. Revelation 12:11 said, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death." Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the sin debt, my friends, on Calvary's tree. Nothing greater could have happened. I always amazed. I get upset sometimes with our Easter celebrations and things like that. Now, this is just me because I'm weird. You know that. And I think to myself, what do I want to have a Monday, Thursday service for? I'm looking to Sunday, man. What do I want to do something on Good Friday for? That's when Jesus was crucified. I'm looking to Sunday. See, I want to get past all that pain. I want to get past all those things. I want to get past all that ugliness. I want to get past all that hardness. I want to get past all that sinfulness. I want to get past all that. And I want to get to the victory part. But you know, it's a good thing for us sometimes to remember how we got there, isn't it? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as with silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions from our fathers. It doesn't make any difference who you are and how your household was set up. If you're a son, you're probably going to be a lot like your father. If you're a daughter, you're going to be a whole lot like your mother. My dad was a grouch. What'd you say? Say it again, say it louder. I'm just like my dad. Just like my dad. And Todd's, oh. Now, see, this is the good thing. I'm like my father, but Todd is like his mother. That's true. Amen. She's so sweet. She's so loving. She's so forgiving. She works her fingers to the bone. She does all these kind of stuff. I tell her sometimes, forget it. Don't be putting that pork chop on the stove and do like that, you know, to wait for Caleb to come home or something like that. If he doesn't come home now and eat the time we eat, just forget it. Let him go get a piece of cheese out of the refrigerator or something like that, and burn a piece of bread. Let him do his own stuff. But she won't do that. She won't do that. Listen, those images, those patterns are put in our lives. It's hard to break from them. So every time when it is a small, small time that I don't act like my dad, then Todd also says, oh, I see, he's shocked. He's shocked. He should have said what? Amen! Glory to God! That's what he should have said. We are overcomers in Jesus. We're not overcomers in our fathers or our mothers or any of those kind of things. They can set a good pattern for us and all those kind of wonderful things. So if they do a good job. But we overcome in the name of Jesus. The cross is the symbol of death. But we have got a cross in here. Why do we have that cross? Because it wasn't over then. The cross tells us and reminds us of the horror of sin that was overcome on the third day. Death could not hold him. You know, my brother was 6'3" or 6'4" or something like that. A little bit taller than me. A whole lot better looking. Whole lot better and a lot of things. He could take nothing and make something out of it. I remember my uncle Merle came when we came back from Montana, and he brought us a couple of rabbits. And we lived in Bismarck at that time. My dad was getting ready to go to Alaska. And he brought us a couple of rabbits. And he said, now listen, you take and breed these rabbits, and then you can have rabbit. Okay. I have no qualms about knocking them in the head, skinning them out, and eating them. So that was no problem. The bad problem was, they didn't do anything. Months and months went by, and we had two rabbits. And I'm feeding these two rabbits. Nothing's happening. So finally, my Uncle Merle came down to visit us or something like that. And that was the very first thing I said, Uncle Merle, come out here. I said, what's wrong with these rabbits? I said, we've had them all of these months, and we haven't had any babies whatsoever. I'm just feeding, cleaning, and they're not doing anything. He said, well, I don't understand that. You reach in there, grab one like that. Oh, we got two boys here. So we got a girl rabbit. We traded one of the, his bunnies were really nice big rabbits. Traded one of those rabbits, the male rabbit, for a female rabbit. Somebody had it down the road. She was so ugly. But she was a good mother. I don't think she ever lost a single baby. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Listen, there are things that come in a design package. And if you get the design package right, then blessings are going to come. Two males don't make babies. Two females don't make babies. Somebody in our society should think about telling them about rabbits. If you want to have babies, you have to have male and you have to have female. That's all there is to it. Won't work any other way. And so we started having babies, and we had lots of babies. And pretty soon, I'm taking those babies, and it would be about 2 or 3, getting close to about 3 pounds. I'd take them out of the hutch, and I was going to say I'd take them by their hind feet, and I would go like that and whack them in the head with the ball bat. But I'm not going to say that. Blank that out. And then my dad had this method. When you skinned them out and all this kind of stuff, you took a milk jug, you know, those paper ones with the wax on them, stuff like that. Put them in there and put some water and freeze them. And so we had a freezer that was starting to get full of rabbits. And somebody down the road asked me something about the rabbits. And I said, oh, they're doing pretty good. Actually, we've got some for sale. And he said, oh, really? How much? And I said, well, I don't really know what's a reasonable price or anything like that. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going over to Farmington. He said, you give me a box of those frozen rabbits. And he said, I'll come back and I'll tell you how much you made. Whoa, okay. I don't know how much he charged for them, but he got $2 a piece for them. Yeah. We actually had some money. Yeah. My mom was so happy. I was kind of happy because now we could eat something besides fried rabbit. But nevertheless, obviously it didn't do me any harm, did it? Listen, God will provide. And the things that God wants us to understand, they're universal in nature and in truth. Jesus went to the cross. Did he have to do that? I think not. He came to do that. He was born to do that. But he didn't stay in the tomb. And that's why we're here today. This is what day? This is not a trick question. It's Sunday, isn't it? That's Resurrection Day. All those endless sacrifices of doves and lambs and pigeons and all those kind of things, the whole Old Testament, they taught one great lesson. And it is so complicated a system. I've said this before. Is Leviticus your favorite book? Is there anybody that... I've never found anybody that thought Leviticus was their favorite book. But Leviticus actually has all those ceremonial things and all those laws. And yes, guess what? All those laws have a purpose and a meaning. They're not in and of themselves sometimes the meaning. They point to something beyond them. The writer of Hebrews says, looking back at that whole Old Testament situation, that Old Testament covenant, he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission of sin. Until Jesus went to that cross and died, there was just the substitutes. But when he died on that cross, he was the perfect Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And on the third day, he rose victorious over the grave so that we could come on this day because just guess what? We're victors. The guy's laying at home somewhere, you know, half drunk from last night or whatever. That poor guy is not a victor. Alcohol's got a hold of him or something got a hold of him. But you're here of your own free will to worship the Lord God Almighty who showed you and gave you an example and gave you the proof of that power. The precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. First the cross, then the resurrection. First, sometimes in our lives comes the hardship. Then through that, the lesson comes and we come out the other side stronger before it. The last word of our testimony. The word of our testimony is the word of God that has found good soil in our hearts. We show the world that there's another way. No destroying property. We don't have to use foul language. We don't have to be violent people. We don't have to march in the streets carrying silly signs and all that kind of stuff. We just need to be walking with Jesus in his love, in his truth, in his power. And his power does the changing. We're a witness to it, good, bad, or indifferent. But it's still Jesus, not me, not you. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows rolls, whatever my lot, what is it? He's taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Who are you trusting today? Lots of powerful things in this world, but Jesus is Lord. Father, as we come to this opportunity to close this morning, we come to your house, we've worshiped, we've opened your scripture, we've studied in Bible study, we're here to worship you in this worship hour. Hopefully we've done just that. Father God, we pray that right now as we give this time of invitation, maybe there's someone here today that for the very first time the Holy Spirit has spoke to their hearts. You've touched them and they say, Lord, I surrender. I want you in my life. I want to walk with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. I want the victories that can be mine in Christ. I want you in my life. If you have never made that decision for Christ, then this invitation stands as is your opportunity to come. I'll pray with you. We'll pray it. Whatever might need to be done to get that completion of that contract made. And we'll celebrate all that you've done. In our lives and in our world, you're still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Oh. Sister is the younger sibling. My older brother, like I said, was 6'4". Very handsome guy. I'm not sure if he did marriage well or he just kept practicing it or something. How many times was he married? Just three? Oh, well, I thought it was much more than that. Okay, all right. But there was one thing that guy did right. He gave his heart to Jesus. He talked to me about Jesus. And I thought to myself, who's my little brother talking to me about Jesus? He don't know anything about anything. Rabbits and money and boats and cars and stuff like that. But he don't know anything about Jesus, does he? But he did. Some of you met my sister. We must have found her in Berlin someplace. Off to the side. Because she's not like me. She's not like my brother. She's so sweet. Her power in her life reflects her faith and her trust in Christ. She's a great grandma. One of her little grandsons, how old is he? Six or so. When we were home a year or so ago, they had a house on the lake, and they built a new house. My brother Eddie, he's like my real brother. Just everything he touches turns to gold. Anyway, his name is Joel, and he's about five or six or something like that. We had this big gathering, all kinds of folks. Didn't know half of them. Am I related to you? Yeah, you know, you're my uncle. Oh, okay. Oh, whatever. Anyway, we had all this fun time. And we went down to the dock, and Joel is quite a fisherman. And there were people there, because there was some other, probably about half a dozen kids. They didn't know which end of a fishing rod was up. And here we were on this dock, and they would take these rods, and they go, you know. It's a wonder that, you know, didn't have hooks stuck out of her head all over the place. And Joel would say, hey, no, look. You press the button, and you go like this, and it goes right in there. Oh, cool. That's so cool. Well, my sister was telling me just the other day, they moved from that house to a new house, and he was down, it's the same lake, just the other side. Anyway, he was down fishing, and he caught a couple of bluegill, my sister said, and this guy came by in a bass boat and caught a 3.5-pound bass or something. He was holding it up. And Joel said, hey, This is our lake. That's my bass. Go somewhere else. But listen, we're all different. We have different likes and interests and hobbies and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't really matter. God wants us, who we are, to be who he wants us to be in Jesus. If you would ask anybody where we live in Missouri, how about Mike? What's that guy going to be when he grows up? They would have probably said a bum or something thereof. He obviously doesn't know how to do money. Has none. He's not as sweet and lovely as his sister. Has none of that. None of those graces. So what? So here I am, the preacher. Oh, God loves to do stuff nobody has in mind. And he still does it all the time. He does it all the time. And you're saying to yourself, yeah, and I wondered why he did you. I got you. Let's close. Father, your grace and your wonder and your power and your majesty is presented to us in your scripture. And it directs us to Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Father, we thank you for your glory and your grace given so freely to all who receive it. Help us to be thankful people. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're dismissed. Be careful going out that way. Thank you.